You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Don't be picky, just be happy with this. Quick, yeah.
Now that the Canucks have been out of the playoffs for more than a week now, do you feel any differently about the performance of the Canucks themselves and some players in particular? There are some stats on three of the Canucks' bottom-pairing defensemen that may or may not surprise you, and I just want to go over them today quickly on the Quickie. Come on, this is the Quickie after all. I'm Trevor Bayes, and you are listening to the Quickie here on the Canucks Misconduct Network. Make sure you go subscribe to the network to get four shows. Power of the Towel, Sipping on a 40, Silky and Filthy, and the Quickie. Go make your hockey life a little bit better. The Canucks defense was the big weakness for this team throughout the entire playoff run. And you heard some people talk about how Jordy Benn looked a little bit better when he was back in the lineup for the Canucks. How Oscar Fannenberg played with tenacity. You know, Fannenberg was getting a lot of love from the Hockey Night in Canada panel, especially in that St. Louis Blues series, for his tough defensive play, doing exactly what you want from a depth defender. And of course, the third guy I want to touch on as well is Tyler Myers. It's a bit of a weird playoffs for Tyler Myers in the 10 games that he appeared for in these playoffs. First, let's start with Jordy Benn, and I found this stat a little bit surprising this morning. But among all Canucks skaters in these playoffs, Jordy Benn was on the ice for the lowest amount of shots against per 60. It wasn't Hughes, Pedersen, Miller, or Besser. It wasn't Gaudette or Roussel who barely saw the ice. It was actually Jordy Benn. Now, to me, this is a bit of a surprising stat because it felt like every time Benn was on the ice, the Canucks were largely in their own end. So to see that he had the lowest number of shots against among all Canucks skaters is a bit surprising. But when you look at it, Benn was on the ice for a tad over 30 shots against per 60 minutes at even strength. His shot 4 percentage is still just above the 40% mark. Look, Jordy Benn falls into this category here of a player who, while he was the best in this category, he was still bad. Because in fact, all the Canucks were bad. And you know these numbers get a bit skewed based on the fact that they were just so heavily dominated by Vegas. But at the end of the day, it wasn't a great playoffs for Jordy Benn. He might have been the best of a bad bunch there. Now I want to talk about Tyler Myers a bit too, because Tyler Myers was extremely snake bit in these playoffs, in my opinion. Not to say he was great. But 0 points in 10 games is very un-Myers-like. And to be honest, a bit, almost this whole season was kind of un-Myers-like in the sense that he didn't really create as much offense as people would have expected from a defenseman making $6 million and a defenseman that's known to create offense. In these playoffs, Oscar Fannenberg and Tyler Myers were on the ice for the lowest number of goals for per 60 minutes at even strength. Now, Oscar Fannenberg was at 0.29 goals for per 60, Myers at 0.39. Jordy Benn actually comes next on the list as well. So, you know, with all three of these defensemen on the ice, offense went to die. But in Myers' case in particular, you look at his expected goals for of 2.04 per game, and it's actually the seventh best mark on the Canucks. Now, Tyler Myers was largely used in a defensive role based on the fact that he had an offensive zone start percentage of 42%. Now, a lot of the Canucks were starting shifts in the defensive zone, so that number gets skewed a bit in the small game sample. But the fact of the matter is based on his expected goals for, Myers was still able to move the puck up the ice. He was still in the offensive zone for more chances than his other counterparts in Ben and Vandenberg. Vandenberg in particular, I don't think he was ever out of his own zone. So for all these talk from analysts saying he had this great play in his own zone, and Oscar Vandenberg, everything you wanted from a depth defenseman, look, it was admirable to an extent, but he's not a guy that I would be lining up for to re-sign on this hockey team. The Canucks defense needs a makeover. Troy Stetcher and Chris Tanev talk, that's for another episode of The Quickie. But when you look at Ben, Vandenberg, and Myers, Ben should be nothing more than the seventh defenseman on this team, or he needs to be playing the right side. Vandenberg should be gone, and Myers, you need to find a way to get him playing with offensive defensemen or guys who can move the puck a bit better up the ice. Because Vandenberg and Ben aren't those guys, and Myers struggled with them heavily this season. I'm Trevor Banks. Thanks again for listening to The Quickie here on the Nux Misconduct Network. Make sure you go subscribe to the network and go check out what else is up on NuxMisconduct.com.